Something for the weekend. It is Trina Mara here. Now, Ari Nagel has been nicknamed the Sperminator after fathering 78 children with 13 more babies on the way. And he's on the phone from New York. Good morning, Ari. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. And if I could correct you, it's 84 children.
There's been more since the article was written. Oh, my goodness. 84 children. How many more on the way?
How many women pregnant or how many on the way? I got 15 women pregnant, but two of them are expecting twins. So okay, it'll be 17 on the way.
So you have 84 and you have 17 on the way.
Right.
So we're over the 100 mark in no time.
If they all carry a term, that's correct.
Is this for real? I thought this was a joke when I first read this.
Oh, I can assure you it's no joke. These kids are real, and it's not an estimate of this is how many times I helped in doing a computation. I've met them, so they're definitely real.
So talk us through how you're 44 now, is that correct?
45.
45 now. How did this all start for you? Where did it come into your head, I want to have absolutely loads and loads of children?
It didn't, and I don't want to have lots of children. In the end, people focus on why do I want to have so many kids, but it's really about these women that don't have any children, and then they're asking me for help to just have their one child or two children, and it doesn't really matter the fact that I have 84. Certainly the moms don't care. They say, well, I just want my one child, and I think if you ask most of the moms that I was able to help, they would tell you that their greatest life's purpose is their child. And knowing that I was able to, with minimal effort and minimal time, being able to help them grow their families and give them their greatest life's purpose, that's really the focus and purpose of why I'm helping these women. Yeah. It's not to expand my family.
Yeah, no, I understand that. How did it all start, though? Who was the very first child?
He is lying right next to me. He's 17 years old. And he wasn't the product of a donation, but of course, I very much enjoyed being a father, and I know how much joy he brought to my life. So a few years later, he's doing his homeschool. Let me go to the next room. So I had these two women that were asking me for help to grow their families. They were quite different. One was a lesbian couple. They had three children, and they wanted another one, but the father of the other children had died. And the other one was a single woman in her 40s, and she wasn't meeting Mr. Right and was running out of time. Okay. So they both conceived around the same time. Oddly enough, it was the heterosexual woman that ended up having to use a clinic because of her age. And it was the lesbian couple that we ended up doing it the old-fashioned way.
Did you?
But yeah. Both of those children are 12 years old now.
And did you know these women, or did the word just kind of get out that Ari Nagel is the guy to go to if you want to have a baby?
Initially, I was having around two or three children a year, and a little bit of it was word of mouth, and some of them I knew, some of them were an ex-girlfriend that asked me for help that wasn't meeting anyone. Around half of them were lesbian couples. There were some heterosexual couples that wanted help if the husband didn't have a good sperm count. Now, random media appearances usually generate a lot of requests. So I was on this TV show yesterday, the Dr. Oz show, and then I would be getting like 20 or 30 messages that day of women reaching out to me, asking me for help to grow their family.
Here's a question for you, Ari. Do you charge the women for your service?
I never charged any of the women. In fact, a lot of them exhausted all their funds in a fertility clinic before they reached out to me, and they had no funds left. And then, of course, a lot of them just reached out to me initially, and all the money saved is now going to be able to go to help with their children.
And then you mentioned about doing it the old-fashioned way. That's how you started off. Then things moved on. And because I guess you don't have the time to do it the old-fashioned way when you have 84 children and 17 more on the way. So how soon after doing it the old-fashioned way did you do it a different way?
Yes, thank you for all that credit of not having time to do it the old-fashioned way. It doesn't take me that much time. The truth is, the real reason I'm unable to do it the old-fashioned way is just because if I'm helping more than one woman in a month, I can't have unprotected sex and still protect me and these other women that I'd be helping to conceive. So the vast majority of the time, I'm giving it to them in a cup. So of the 15 women that I have pregnant right now, three of them use the clinic, but the other 12, I just gave it to them in a cup and they put it inside on their own. It cost them less than $1 for the cup, and they were able to have a baby without all of the expense. Of course, if they're in the under 40, it's much easier to conceive. And then some of the women had insurance that covered fertility.
You have to get it to them quickly, I assume.
Well, there were times that I mailed my sperm, and then it's a little more complicated because you would have to mix it with a type of egg yolk buffer so that it would last. And then you have to overnight it, but not often the case. Typically, I'll just meet them, especially since COVID flights have been so affordable. So That's why I have 15 women pregnant in so many different states. I even have a woman pregnant in Hungary right now, and New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Maryland, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Alabama. These are states all across the East Coast that I have children. And I've met them. I put the sperm in a cup and they put it inside and they put it in immediately. There was no wait time. If you don't put it in right away, the sperm will die within an hour. They'll just dry out unless you treat it with something.
Is there ever a worry that your children could meet each other and end up, you know, starting a relationship in years to come? They don't know that they're biologically related. Is that a worry?
Well, that's a worry, I think, with anonymous donations. When you go to a bank and you purchase your sperm and you don't know who the father is, then there's a chance that those siblings could eventually meet. Of course, in this scenario, this is a known situation. The children will know who their father is. The mothers certainly know who I am. And there's no anonymous donations. I've never gone to a clinic and donated anonymously to any bank. So these kids are getting together. I have a birthday party on Saturday in Brooklyn. And the mom's not even from Brooklyn. The mom's from Florida, but she's flying into Brooklyn because she knows so many siblings will be able to attend our daughter's 3-year-old birthday party. And I'm sure they'll have lots of brothers and sisters there. Of course, there's also a Facebook group that the moms joins. We have over 60 moms in the Facebook group. And of course, it's growing. The moms sometimes talk to each other every single day. A lot of them have become quite close. Of course, a lot of the children are very, very young. But even statistically, I do teach that the chances of the two of them meeting, even if they didn't know who their father was, are minuscule. I live in a city of, I mean, it's New York. It's the biggest city in the country. There's over 20 million people in greater New York, and the chances of these siblings meeting and hooking up are very, very slim. It's even less so because these children know each other. A lot of them are bonding. A lot of these women that reached out to me, keep in mind, were, you know, 40 years old, let's say, and the opportunity for a sibling wasn't there because of their age. So they like the fact that their child is not an only child and is able to bond with their brothers and sisters.
These 84 children, Ari, have you seen photographs of them all? And do they look alike?
Yes, I've met almost all of them. There are some that I haven't met. Obviously, I had over 20 kids born last year, and haven't got to meet all of them. But certainly, I'm Facebook friends or Instagram or whatever social media they are. They send me pictures on WhatsApp if they're out of the country. I had a child born in Africa last year that I haven't met yet. And of course, with COVID, the travel has been sometimes difficult to certain countries. But I know what they all look like, and I know all their names.
Do you? Wow. Are there any siblings that have the same name as each other?
Yes, there are quite a few, and a lot of them honor me by giving some variation of my name. So I have a lot of different versions of Ari. So I have a 12-year-old who's named Ari, but then I have a lot of other kids. I have a few different, I have three Arias, and then I have an Ariel, and an Ariana, and Akari, and Akari, and there's a lot of duplicate names or variations of them.
Do you feel a bond at all to these children, or is it just a case you've helped their mothers and you just walk away and move on to the next?
You know, some kids I get to see all the time, and then there's some kids that I've never met, but there's definitely a bond. You know, even if there's like a heterosexual couple that I helped and I'm not really involved and I haven't really gotten to spend quality time with the child, still seeing this child take vacations, just seeing pictures and videos of how happy the child is, you can't help but develop a bond with the child. And you have to understand that a lot of these women were going to really be just using a frozen anonymous donor where the child will never, ever get to know who the father is. So even now, the child may not have a close relationship with their father, at least they have this knowledge of knowing who their father is and won't suffer with the identity issue of never knowing.
Can they come after you? Say if you were a multimillionaire, Ari, can any of these children come after you for your estate when you die?
Yes, well, I solved that problem. I'm very broke, so it won't be an issue. No one will be fighting over my debts. That being said, they wouldn't have to fight over it. I'd be giving it willingly. I would give all my money to my children, as any parent or as most parents would. They give it over willingly. There's no fighting necessary. That's something that they want to do. I wish I was able to do a better job of helping provide for these children. I do pay court-ordered child support for 9 of the children. A few of the moms went back on their word and sued me for child support, but the vast majority of them were honest and kept to their word. And the only difference is that now the bulk of my salary goes to these nine children, I'm unable to, you know, maybe distribute it a little more equitably or perhaps distribute it based on need. The vast majority of my salary is going just to the moms that sued. And then, like, it would have been nice for this birthday party on Saturday if I would have said, hey, let me cover some of the expenses. And unfortunately, my finances are such that would be a real stretch. So it makes me a little sad that I'm not able to help in the same way.
Now, hang on, Ari. We need to take a step back. Nine of the women you had babies with have sued you for child support. Were these women where you just gave a donation, or were you in a relationship with these women?
No, these women were just a donation, just like any other. You know, there's nothing that can really protect me. There's no contract, because what I'm doing is I'm just a known type donor. So I'm just giving them the sperm in a cup, and there's no law that really protects me from child support. So any of the women, any of the moms can go back on their word and file for child support. Of course, each subsequent woman that sues gets less and less. But the vast majority of women kept their word and support the children on their own.
Okay, but there's keeping your word, but should you not be getting legal advice on this, that you need to have a contract in place, that they're not going to come back looking for money? Because how are you going to survive if you've to support 100 children?
That's true. Not only that, they could take more money than I earn, because New York, where most of the women sue, where I live, is a minimum pay state. So the laws will allow them to actually collect more than I earn. But I'm not there yet. There's no legal protection. Ultimately, in the end, it's the child's right to sue. So there's contract that I could sign. Now, it is possible now, because keep in mind that 12 years ago, you know, gay marriage wasn't legal. So in some ways, I'm more protected if the parents are married and that there's two women on the birth certificate. It would probably be much more challenging for them to then file for court-ordered support. I imagine it would make it a little more difficult. But, you know, of course, a lot of women are single women, and, you know, there would really be nothing that would be preventing them. Ultimately, the court would order a paternity test, and if I'm the father, then I end up having to pay. They do what's in the best interest of the child. And ultimately, unless you're doing it anonymously, what's in the best interest of the child is to get that financial support. So there's no contract that the mom could sign, because it's the child's right to sue, and you can't sign away a child's right. I think the laws are being updated. It's some states in the United States allow for this kind of donation and have the male protected. Of course, that's typically when it's done in a clinic. The vast majority of my children are not conceived in a clinic. They're just conceived on our own.
Ari, how much are you paying out every month on child support?
It's roughly half my salary right now. Each child gets 17%. But of course, if I make $100,000, the first child will get $17,000 a year. But then the next child will only get 17% of what's left of my salary. So they'll only be getting 17% of the $83,000.
Okay.
And so it goes down after each child. So it's around half my salary, roughly.
Is this why you're broke? You mentioned you're broke and you won't be leaving much in your will when you do die. Is that the reason you're broke?
Absolutely. I mean, until these kids are 21, the bulk of my salary is garnished. So I don't even get to see it. It's just taken out of my paycheck. So yes, that's absolutely the reason I'm broke. But of course, even though my bank account doesn't show it, I certainly feel rich. I have so much love and joy in my life. I'm traveling quite a bit, helping women conceive. And my lifestyle doesn't really look like somebody who's broke. It's a little transient. Of course, I'm spending nights by different children, trying to visit them and spend quality time with each of them. I spent my winters in Florida, but I look at just this year, I traveled to Africa in January, and then I went to Mexico in March and traveled all over the United States. It's not the lifestyle of someone who's broke. And even though my bank account looks broke, I don't feel broke. I certainly feel very rich. I think maybe there's all types of wealth, and maybe my income doesn't make me wealthy, but I think in many ways all these offspring do.
Do the women then cover your expenses, like your flights and things like that?
The vast majority of the women are in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area.
Okay, but when you went to Africa and the woman from it, did you go to Hungary or did she come to you?
Yes, I did go to Hungary, but I went to Hungary after I went to Czech Republic and Slovak Republic. So the expense was very, very minimal, because I went to Belgium, Czech Republic, Slovak Republic, and Hungary, and then Israel. So all of those tickets were combined really into one, and a lot of them were just bus or train tickets. So the expenses were so minimal, there really wasn't very much expense. I think someone
and
just gave me
Ari,
like
when you travel into these airports, Ari, and you're going through customs, do they ask you what is the nature of your visit to the country? And you're saying, I need to drop off something.
Yeah, exactly. I, of course, I'm not sharing. That generally will turn into a very, very long conversation.
So it creates an awkward situation.
One time I had a woman meet me at the airport, you know, because she was ovulating. And I said, listen, I'm flying out. So she meets me at the airport. And then as soon as I give her the sperm sample, I was late for my flight. I rushed through security. And when I go through security, they did this body scan. And when they did this body scan, they see a little liquid at the end of my, Anyway, they were like, listen, we have to pat you down there. But of course, you know, because I was just in such a rush and in haste. So that also created, I was like, tried to explain it. And then I was like, all right, just pat my body down and do what you got to do.
I never thought I was going to have this conversation on the radio in my life. Ari, New York State Department of Health don't want you to continue doing this. What's the issue there?
Yeah, it's not just New York State. I got banned in Israel as well, which is, you know, I'm Jewish and Israel is a very paternalistic country. So they have free IVF treatments for all women up until the age of 45. So I had a lot of requests from Israel and I froze sperm for six women. And then the Ministry of Health said, wait a minute, this is not in the spirit of the law. You know, each country has different laws pertaining to fertility. They're vastly different. So like in Germany or France, you have to be married in order to go to a fertility clinic. So the avenues for lesbian couples really aren't there, or even single women who want to start a family. They're not allowed to go to the fertility clinic and with me because we're not married. So some countries, I actually had to marry the woman just so that we were able to use a fertility clinic. Israel, the law allows any man or woman to go have a child together. The father just has to accept responsibility for the child. So I accepted responsibility with a contract as required by law, but then they said, wait a minute, that's not in the spirit of the law. So that's why they banned me there. New York, well, in the United States, it's really the Wild West of fertility laws. Anything goes. So any guy and any girl can go in and to the clinic and have a baby. The New York State Department of Health, you know, read an article and they just were questioning me on what is going on. In fact, I could share the letter with you if you'd like. And they just said you have to apply for a license. But then when I explained to them what I'm doing, obviously it's legal for me to just put my sperm in a cup and give it to women. We're two consenting adults and that's not something that they could prevent. They control perhaps what's done in a clinic and that they could regulate that, but they don't really regulate the two consenting adults meeting and having a child together.
Yeah. Is it because there's no money changing hands that they, you know, they kind of don't have a case?
Possibly. I think it's a lot of issues of why they don't have a case, but I think that perhaps that's one of it. That's not the reason why I'm not charging. And, you know, I don't think that's really what makes it legal or illegal, is the money exchanging hands.
Yeah. The women that you married to get into these places, you mentioned there, what happens? You just get an annulment straight afterwards?
That would make sense if they wanted to get remarried. But they don't often do so. If they ask me to, then I will. I have another marriage coming up. It's not of a civil nature. It's a religious marriage. The woman's from Afghanistan. She lives in Maryland now, but her parents are Muslim and they're very, very old fashioned and they don't want to accept the grandchild. But they more likely to accept the grandchild if it's the product of a marriage. Of course, the woman's in a lesbian relationship that's not really recognized by the parents. So she asked me if I could come out to Maryland and do a marriage just with an imam. And I'm not sure if she would want to get divorced at a later date. Of course, she's very much in love with her lesbian lover. Okay. So I don't think there would really be a reason for us to maybe get divorced. I don't even know what the legality of getting divorced with a Muslim marriage or if that's...
Is that kind of like a facade to make it look like she's in a same-sex relationship to her family?
Yeah, sometimes it's for religious reasons or legal reasons or family reasons that would require me to get married.
What do your own family think of this?
You know, it varies. I have four brothers, two sisters, my parents, and, you know, all of them have different views. So some are a little more open and accepting than others. And then, of course, I have my other extended family. I have a lot of these moms. You know, some of them do want me to stop and feel like maybe I've had enough children. Others are more supportive and want me to continue. My parents are in their 70s and they're old fashioned. And I think they want me to get married and have children, just like all of my four brothers and two sisters who are in very traditional relationships. But a lot of my siblings are good uncles and aunts, and my cousins get together with my kids and do play dates and whatnot. And then there's others that are just, you know, we still love each other. I love my parents. They love me, but they're not very active in my children's lives.
And what's your own relationship status at the moment?
I found it very, very difficult to date while also helping other women grow their families. I had a string of short-term relationships, but in the end, ultimately, it was never really fair to whoever the woman I was that I was dating, because, you know, we have a lot of times before a donation, I need to abstain, and it would prevent us from being intimate, and then it just occupies a little too much of my time. But I'm 45, so I don't plan on helping women grow their families when I'm in my 50s, and I think at that point, maybe I'll be more active in pursuing a relationship for myself, but I'm not really lacking any love or companionship in my life.
Yeah. It's a bit much, I guess, on a first date to turn around and say, oh, by the way, I have 91 children. Isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't divulge that on the first date, but if they have a 7-year-old, I'd be like, oh, I have a 7-year-old too. And then maybe let it progress. Otherwise, it does end up monopolizing the whole date.
Yeah. It's a big sacrifice, though, isn't it, to put other women who want to have a baby, to put that first instead of your own relationship. Were you married before, Ari?
I've been married a few times.
Have you?
But never a real marriage in the traditional sense.
How do you mean? How do you mean never a real marriage?
Yeah, well, these were marriages of convenience.
Okay, but did you never have
an children?
Did you never have?
I never had a true marriage.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, you talk about the sacrifice. First of all, I think anyone who has children has sacrifices. I think in the end, ultimately, my sacrifice is quite minimal. I think I look at the sacrifice that the women are making for their children every single day, and these amazing moms and the sacrifices that they're making. And you could ask them about their social life and when was the last time they went on a date with a toddler at home. And I think it's probably, you know, worse than my dating life. They're doing sleepless nights, and their whole life is dedicated to, you know, raising and caring for this child. So their sacrifices are far greater than mine.
How old were you when you started doing this? You're 45 now.
Mm-hmm. And then my children are 12 and under. So really, okay. 32 is when I started helping women grow their families.
And there was one woman who was only 18 that you helped conceive. It's very young, isn't it? Why couldn't she just go and find a man in the normal sense?
She was a lesbian.
That would explain it.
Yes, it was. And, you know, people age differently. So she was quite mature because she was on her own at that time and wasn't living with her parents. And she's 20 now, and she has 2 children by me already. Her second child was born in February. She's doing great. She's married to her lesbian lover now. Mm-hmm. And of course, when she came to me, I didn't know she was 18. She was actually homeless. She was living in a shelter at the time. But of course, we didn't meet at her home. So I didn't even know that. But since then, she's gotten out of the shelter, and she's living in North Carolina and has 2 children now. And she's an amazing mom, and she's in college getting an education, even though when I met her, she was 18 and homeless and didn't have a high school diploma. Now she's 20 with 2 kids in college and has a nice apartment.
Because there must be some women that you've come across where it might not be the right thing for them to have a child that they maybe can't provide for. Have you ever said no to anybody based on their circumstances?
I had a woman that asked me for help, but she was living in her car. Actually, it wasn't even her car. It was a friend of hers' car. And, you know, and I said, baby, get some lodging first. And she actually did. And she's due this month. She's a woman from Sri Lanka, and she's living in the United States, and she wasn't really legal in the country. So she's not eligible for the same kind of financial support. But of course, now that she's pregnant, they gave her, you know, government insurance, and she's getting some government support to help her provide for the baby. I think in the end, she'll be an amazing mom, even if she's not wealthy. I think she's going to provide this child with so much love and care and attention. I know that she's just constantly reading baby books her whole 9 months of pregnancy. That's all she's doing, is just preparing for this child.
Have you been at any of the births, Ari?
Yes. You know, obviously with the lesbian couples, I might just come visit in the hospital. But for the single woman, sometimes they want their mother there or a close friend, and sometimes they would prefer to have me there. So it varies. But if they ask me to be there, then I'll always try and be in the hospital for the birth. And I've been there for maybe around a dozen births.
You're well used to it. You could almost actually train as a midwife, probably. Is your phone always on just in case another lady is about to go into labor?
Okay, yes. Well, it's more on because there might be a woman ovulating that might need my help. So I get a lot of messages from women who are fertile and tracking their cycle. And sometimes you have 2 or 3 women message me a day that they're all ovulating on the same day. And that really poses a challenge, because then I need to make a decision of, well, then who should I be helping conceive that day? Do you help the older woman who's maybe running out of time but has a very little chance of success, or do you help the younger woman who has a much higher chance of success, but also can just postpone it till the next cycle? And then sometimes one's local and one's out of town and one's on medication and one's not. And you have to make these difficult decisions. Of course, I can ejaculate more than once in a day, but then the second sample of the day doesn't really have as much sperm in there. So I think that's the challenge. But of course, I only have around, well, last year I had 21 kids born, and I'm probably on track to match that this year. I had two sets of twins last year, so that helped. And I'm due to have two sets of twins this year as well.
Oh, I'm exhausted even thinking about this. And actually, your phone did beep during the course of this interview, so that may well be one of the mothers-to-be trying to contact you. Ari, thanks for taking our call today, and really, really fascinating. When are you going to give it up, though? When do you think you're going to stop reproducing?
Yes, that's a good question. I'm 45, and I think there's a health risks based on the age of the male. It's not so clear what that is as much as it is for a woman. I know physically I'm certainly capable of having children for many more years to come. But whether that's going to be healthy for the child is debatable. So I'm definitely not going to be doing this in my 50s.
Good to hear. Already into the hundreds. Thanks so much, Ari, and take care today.
It was so nice chatting.
Well, what do you think of that interview? This is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.